neighbor in particular, but there's other neighbors that have actually asked about that. And I just got a phone number yesterday from the neighbor to the north. His name is Mr. Macias, that was asking about if we might be willing to consider selling the property. I have not talked to him, but we were pumping out, I had an irrigator pumping out some water out of our fields due to all the recent rains, and I guess he stopped by and talked to the irrigator, and the irrigator gave me his name and phone number, but I have not talked to him yet.
Thank you. And then, is it a possibility that you would just rent it out to this neighbor? Or you just want to kind of sever ties there?
Yeah, I think we're looking in the line of probably trying to sell the property. I know that's maybe a concern that, oh, it's, you know, somebody's going to buy the property and then they're going to want to build a home or two, you know, and I guess you probably could. I don't know. It's part of the property is in a special flood hazard area. I don't know if I was looking at a place to build a home, I wouldn't be too excited about building it there, but I don't know. It's just a lot of unknowns.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Hill?
Yeah, Mr. Braun, a question. Are you, with your citrus, is it all in citrus or the acreage?
Yeah, there's tangos and then there's page. There's about 15 acres of page and about close to 10 acres there's about 15 acres of tangos and 10 acres of page.
Okay. Because I, too, have family that was hit by the Wawona bankrupt, and I know what you're going through. But considering how well citrus has been, would that not be a case of retaining it for retirement? I know a lot of people are.
Are doing what?
Retaining. They're farming.
Yes.
Is bringing, I mean, yes. In retirement funds.
Yes. You know, it's certainly something to consider, but I think, you know, our ranch was always included in the farming operations when we worked for the Grauen family. So okay. there was always labor available. Mm-hmm. There was always equipment available. There was always, you know, if we needed to prune the trees, if we needed to spray the trees. I don't have that equipment myself. I do not. And then if you rely on a labor contractor for the labor it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And then to get someone to come in and commercially spray your property, it's just we're kind of too small to have our own equipment to be able to do these things. And so you're just having to find someone that would be willing to do that for you.
Mm-hmm. Too bad there wouldn't be somebody to lease it like this Commissioner Wolf said. But that's where we're going. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
On Exhibit 7 on your variance findings, that it's dated September 28th, 2020. Is it you guys started this back in basically 3+ years ago, or
we started in 86? The trying to split.
Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah, it was about 2020. It may have been even a little before that. And as early as I think my wife tried to start in 2018, doing it by herself, and. She was told that she would probably need some help to be able to do this. So it's been a...
The reason for the slowdown more the Williamson Act stuff? Or it wasn't on our side, I can't imagine, right? Because a variance doesn't take that long.
It's just it's just a lot of back and forth and jumping through all the hoops with the county to get every step covered. There's lack of communication. You're thinking that everybody's on the same page, and then mm-hmm. you may not be, and it's just takes time.
And just kind of going with the story of your retirement. So around 2020 is when that company sold, and that's why you thought this is a good time to.
No.
It wasn't because you got laid off.
None of that really
has
came into play.
Okay.
I thought even 6 months ago things were going to continue to operate normally. And
so this is more you were planning your retirement, and this was pre-planning 3-4 years ago.
Well, I would have continued to hang on if they would continue to operate.
Right.
And you know, it's I'm 71. It's kind of hard to go to work for someone else, and they're expecting certain things from you, and you're used to doing things a certain way, and how I've been on these ranches since, you know, all these years since 77, same ranches.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Braun. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
If there's no one else to speak in support, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Bring it back to the commission. I'll close the public portion of the hearing. Bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Let's see. Motions are on page 9. Commissioner Hill?
Yes. I was looking at the analysis of the staff report, and it says the personal desire of the applicant is not relevant to the finding, as is not related to the property. The length of time a party has lived in a home, their age, or other personal circumstances are circumstances any other property in the area could have. To grant a person a special privilege of a variance based on their personal circumstance is prohibited by state law and county code. So that is what we have here. Something.
Does staff usually put that in there? I don't recall seeing that it's yes. prohibited by state law.
Mm-hmm. We've put it in various forms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for those reasons, I don't think we'll be able.
Well, you're saying you can't make the findings then.
No.
Okay.
You want to have discussion or?
Discussion. She thought okay. She was going to follow with something, but yeah, let's open up for discussion. Public hearing is closed. Mr. Wolf?
Through my experience here, every circumstance is different. And we have pulled small parcels off for people that have lived there a long time. And they want to remain there. And it works, especially if they have neighbors that are willing to jump into the farming of their property. And you can kind of, at least I feel in this situation, that I can see some of the findings, find some of the findings in this case. And although the portion you were looking at, I recognize that's the reason that we have this panel, is every situation is a little bit different. I don't think this is going into development for any reason. It's not going to be a bunch of little houses. And I do think I obviously get nervous about a small parcel being created and who the next owner is of that small parcel, and if they're going to be upset by the farmers around them spraying their trees. But just based on listening to Mr. Braun, I feel like he's really on the up and up on this one and just wants to stay in his house. And that's my input. I have seen this, I've seen us do this before where we help people out that have been there a long, long time and they just want to be there.
Chairman.
Commissioner Quist.
I'm empathetic to Mr. Braun's situation and his desire of that of their family. Just like I was empathetic to the last applicant, actually. But what concerns me is trying to make all those findings. And it is surrounded, this property is surrounded by fall farming. There are a couple small parcels. However, my concern is, you know, what ultimately might happen to the larger parcel, given then the ability to perhaps apply for to build another home and a second by director's review. So I do know that, you know, we mentioned agricultural activities like spraying. And as I'm sure Mr. Braun knows, we're going to be faced with more and more concerns about that and more notices of intent. And the more homes that are built, there's the more notices of intent. And so that is a concern. So I'm having a hard time making all those findings as much as I would like to.
I can make a motion.
Okay. Commissioner Hill?
Mm-hmm. I so move that we recommend to the denial of, as move to determine that the required findings 1, 2, and 4 cannot be made as stated in the staff report, and move to deny variance application 4099 and direct the secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the commission's actions.
Okay, there's a motion to deny as per staff's recommendation. Is there a second? Hearing no second. That dies for lack of a second. So I'm going to make a motion. To determine that the required findings can be made. Now, they did touch on, I had asked about the size of the property, and while, you know, 29 or 33 or 25 acres really doesn't make a difference there, it is bounded by the Alta Canal, and there was the Traver Creek, which would limit going to the north or to the east. It's already established in Orchard with wind machines. I wanted to ask staff if we were to approve it, they have the right to farm ordinance. Is that something that would apply?
Yeah, the right to farm ordinance is an existing ordinance. It, regardless of whether you record a gut covenant or not, it exists.
Mention that specifically.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we can make the findings that it's not contrary to the objections of the general plan. Again, looking at the bigger picture of the general plan, the property, after hearing testimony, is most likely to, well, I would say with permanent crop in there, will stay in agriculture for many years. Maybe down the line there may be a change in development or the zoning, but that's not today. So with that, I will make that motion and direct the secretary, with the conditions of approval and project notes, as listed, direct the secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the commission's action. Is there a second for that?
I second.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes, I'd like to read this one thing that maybe you missed in the finding four. It says, the existence of personal desires and personal circumstances is not a basis for granting a variance. And then it goes on to say the granting of the variance could be construed if as inconsistent with government code section 65906, which prohibits granting of unqualified variances in states in part, shall constitute a grant of special privilege and consistent with the limitations upon other properties in the vicinity and zone in which such property is situated. Based on the factors cited in the analysis, the required findings for granting the variance application cannot be made, as there are no exceptional or extraordinary circumstances, conditions applicable to the property. The variance is not necessary for the preservation of enjoyment of a substantial property right of the applicant, which right is possessed by other property owners under the conditions in the vicinity, and the application is contrary to the goals and policies of the general plan.
Okay. Well, I still feel that I can make the findings. So based on the testimony today.
Okay, go one by one.
We'll do a roll call vote.
No.
Is that what you mean?
No, tell us what your findings are.
Okay, well, we had testimony with regards to the condition of the property as it is now.
Testimony.
Just a moment. It's bordered by the Alta Canal to the north. You have the Traver Creek to the east. It is not a square parcel. I don't see this impacting the general plan as far as continuing to farm. We heard testimony that it's likely and it's possible and likely that the property will be continued to be farmed. I think there's the substantial property right by the applicant to do what he can do should he decide he wants to live there for the rest of his life. And we didn't hear any testimony or any alternatives to that. And I'm just going to call for the vote. And
what about number four?
Well, I stated it's not contrary to the objectives of the general plan, in my opinion, if people feel
so
that it is.
So you're saying staff's not right?
Okay, this is rare that we go through this like that. I'm saying staff has a job to do, and they've done it well. Mm-hmm. If it was all on paper, we wouldn't even need a commission. They wouldn't even have to put the applicants through this if they said on paper, this is what we see, so there's no point to review it in front of a commission. There's no point to hear testimony. I'm not doing it because I feel sorry for the applicants. I think they have a valid point. They've lived there a long time. They farmed the property for years. And I think that has bearing on how I make my decision as well. So, yeah, you could probably find things, pick things that, you know, where... Well, I'm going to say staff is correct in their analysis, but it's up to us to see if there's any exceptions, and I made an exception. So we move along. If the commission will call for a roll call vote, and if it fails, it fails. If it passes, it passes. So roll call vote.
Chairman Abrahamian.
And this is to approve. Yes.
Commissioner Wolf.
Yes.
Commissioner Rabian.
Yes.
Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Chatha is absent. Commissioner Quist?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante is absent. Vice Chair Hill?
No.
Okay, this passes 4-1. It's final unless this is appealed to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you very much. Go on to the next item, please.
Thank you.
Regular agenda item number 4, variance application number 4141 and initial study number 8324 filed by Dirk Puschel proposing to allow the reduction of the minimum parcel size requirements to create a 2.3 acre and a 117.4 acre parcel from an existing 119.7 acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the northeast corner of McKinley and Mendocino Avenue, approximately 3 miles north of the city of Sanger.
Morning, Chairman Babian, Planning Commissioners, Elliot Rackus again, Fresno County Public Works and Planning. The parcel property itself is zoned AE20. The surrounding properties are generally larger in size. What makes this property unique, and we're going to go back to findings 1 and 2, is that there needs to be an extraordinary physical or exceptional circumstance to this property. As you can see here, it's the applicant's intent to create a 2.3 acre parcel that is bisected by the Fresno Canal. As you can see here, the property itself is currently vacant. The property underwent a willingness not cancellation for that portion. It went to the Board of Supervisors and was subsequently approved. As a condition of approval, the applicant needs to pay the assessor's portion as listed in the conditions of approval. The canal traversing the property does create an extraordinary circumstance. In order number 2, for the property itself, if the Fresno Canal was already created a legal precedent, the unique circumstance the proposed 2.3 acre parcel is isolated from the rest of the parcel by a canal. Hence, it does not enjoy the same opportunity for contiguous access and ability to farm as other properties in the area have the right to do so. Were the canal facilities a separate title of land rather than irrigation easement on the property, this would be allowed as a separate property by right. Hence, this is the reason why the applicant is proposing this variance. As mentioned, staff is able to make all 4 findings. As there is an extraordinary circumstance, there's a substantial property right, there's no adverse effect on the neighborhood, and it's not contrary to the objectives of the general plan, as this 2.3 acre portion is vacant and it's not been used for farming, and it will be difficult to be used for farming. Therefore, staff recommends the Planning Commission is approved as recommended by staff. Thank you.
I had a question. So they haven't paid the cancellation fee as of yet?
Correct, and that's a condition of approval.
Okay, but on the previous item, they did pay the cancellation fee. Are they required to pay it before it came to us?
They need to pay it initiating a mapping procedure.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Wolf.
How long has the applicant owned the property?
The applicant can address that that
okay.
question.
And is there anything that's flood zone-ish about this parcel?
I don't believe there is. But there is an easement, as you can see, along that area.
The easement is the
Fresno Irrigation District easement. I don't believe it's in a flood zone.
I like this one because when we became commissioners, we on all our readings about variances, this is almost textbook of when a variance can be granted. It caught my eye. I just read some of that stuff.
Any other questions of staff? Thank you. The applicant come forward, please. And state your name and address and your brief comments.
I will, and I'll make it very brief. Dirk Puschel, my business address is 923 Van Ness here in Fresno, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Billy Bowes and the Billy Bowes Trust. He's the gentleman back in the blue shirt. Their family has owned this property for over 100 years, and their intent is to sell the site to their sister, his sister. Staff has made all of the findings. We have letters of support of five of our neighbors that I'll hand to staff. Again, as Commissioner Arabian said, this is almost a classic case of variance findings because there is a physical circumstance that creates the not only the property right, but the unique circumstances. So we certainly appreciate staff's recommendation, and we concur, and we ask that you approve this variance as recommended by staff.
Any questions of Mr. Pushel?
Thank you so much.
So, Mr. Pushel, so Llewellyn, is that the family name? Says owner, Mark Llewellyn?
That's wrong. I think there was a mistake.
I saw that too.
Yeah, it's the Bose Family Trust.
Bose Family Trust.
Yes. Again, they've been farming, and they own other adjacent properties immediately adjacent to this piece, also under the Bose Family Farms.
Who's Mark Llewellyn?
I have no idea.
That was on a previous one, I thought. I remember seeing that name over by.
I think it was just a mistake, Commissioner Wolf.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are we okay, staff, with that correction? Okay. Do we have anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Close public portion of the hearing. Bring it back to motions. It'd be page 9.
I'll make a motion to approve as recommended by staff.
Second it.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Arabian, a second by Commissioner Hill. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? This carries 5-0 as final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors. Next.
Regular agenda number 5, the 2023 General Plan Annual Progress Report.
Okay. Good morning, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Derek Chambers with the Department of Public Works and Planning. Provided for your consideration and recommendation to the Board of Supervisors is the 2023 General Plan Annual Progress Report for Fresno County. I need to inform the Commission that staff discovered two errors in the annual progress report after today's agenda item was finaled and mailed to the commissioners. These errors, which will be corrected before the annual progress report is provided to the Board of Supervisors, include the following. One, there is an incorrect page numbering sequence within the report body. And two, the other error is regarding the reporting in the report body on the Friant Ranch Environmental Impact Report. The reporting appears in your packet is that the final EIR is anticipated to be completed in May 2023. That, I believe, is page 18 of the staff report body, should be page 18 of the staff report body. There's a table, and it shows a series of EIRs. And on the top is the EIR 5481. That's the Friant Ranch EIR. The correct reporting on that is that the final EIR is anticipated to be completed and presented to the Board of Supervisors sometime in 2024. So that was the other error that we discovered.
Having it 2018, it's
2004. It states that it was anticipated to be completed in 2023, but it should state that 2024. So, I apologize for that error. We should have caught that. Proceeding, state law. There's a state law that requires all cities and counties to submit an annual report on the status of their general plan to their legislative bodies, the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, and the California Department of Housing and Community Development by April 1st of each year. The Governor's Office of Planning and Research provides guidance to assist local governments with annual progress report preparation. However, there is no mandated format for the annual progress report other than the housing element reporting, which is specifically dictated by the California Department of Housing and Community Development. Therefore, reporting on the housing element in this annual progress report, including the county's progress in addressing its regional housing needs allocation, has been prepared in the format prescribed by the California Department of Housing and Community Development. This annual progress report includes an overview of the general plan, state requirements for annual reporting, status of current general plan review and zoning ordinance update, and planning and development activities that occurred during the 2023 calendar year. Appendix A of the annual progress report provides reporting on general plan programs and all elements of the general plan, except the housing element. Appendix B of the annual progress report provides the reporting on the housing element and the county's progress in addressing its RENA, regional housing needs allocation, in that format prescribed by HCD, the Department of Housing and Community Development. And at this time, Principal Planner Yvette Quiroga is here to join us to provide more details on noteworthy planning activities and achievements that are also discussed in the annual progress report. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Yvette Quiroga, Principal Planner, Public Works and Planning. And we're just here to provide you a quick overview of some of the activities that occurred in the last year that is reported in both Appendix A and Appendix B before your board. We held over 20 community meetings regarding the general plan and the housing element to get community input and educate the community on our many activities that we've been working on, specifically the housing element and the general plan review and zoning update. We utilized technology and having Zoom meetings to allow additional access to all residents who could not attend in person. We also submitted our six-cycle draft housing element to the HCD, Housing and Community Development, as required by December 12th. And we also finalized and brought to the Board of Supervisors a guidance document for updating community plans. And at that time, the board also prioritized the 10 community plans that I would like for us to update in the future. And additionally, we began updating the first two community plans at the end of this year, which is the community of Biola and Delray. We've also invested a lot of different, we applied for a lot of different funds and were awarded in the last year. We were able to receive over $20 million to help our communities in various ways, including a congestion mitigation and air quality grant for the Fowler Avenue widening and also the Elkhorn shoulder widening. We also received state funds for sidewalk improvements in Cantua Creek and El Porvenir and also for the Community of Tranquility. We got a carbon reduction program grant that is doing preliminary engineering for left turn signals at Central and Chestnut for the community of Malaga, which they've been asking for a long time. Additionally, we received a Safe Streets for All grant that will allow us to upgrade existing local road safety plans and improve road and pedestrian safety in disadvantaged communities. We've also were able to award $400,000 in ARPA funds for park improvements for the community of Raisin City. And we also just recently, the Sour King Valley Air Control Board District awarded $1 million, so allow us next year to start planting some trees in Central South Fresno, Malaga, and Calawa. We've also had some activities for removing barriers to specialized housing. We're currently conducting, we started last year and hope to finish this year, a feasibility study on the possibility of creating a housing trust, possibly a regional housing trust with our other partner cities. We also designed and completed and got approved 9 accessory dwelling units, ADUs, that can now be offered for free as pre-approved building plans available to county residents who are eligible to build a second accessory dwelling unit. So we're really excited about that, and we've gotten a lot of interest already from residents. We also began designing, and we hope to complete in 2024, also pre-approved plans that will be given for free to our residents for duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. We also finished construction of a rehabilitation project that the county funded to rehab 60 farm worker housing units in the city of Mendota. And we worked with we worked with California Rural Legal Assistance in assisting them in applying for state funds to be able to save existing mobile home park called Shady Lakes to help them become affordable in their rents as their rents have been going up. So that was a really exciting project. And we've also provided 2 award letters to different developers to build 2 possible affordable housing projects in our partner cities. What's before your board today, before your commission, is our annual APR, as mentioned earlier, and the motion that staff recommends that you receive the 2023 APR, that you recommend the Board of Supervisors accept it, and direct the Secretary to prepare a resolution. And I'm open for, staff and I are open for questions at this time.
Thank you very much. Any questions of staff? Thank you. Commissioner Wolf.
Yvette, I'm just curious, when you get the grants, and is there a follow-up that we can see how maybe the grants from a year ago were allocated or not? Is that part of what we're doing, the annual progress report?
Yes, in the annual progress report, depending on where, what program and the grants were awarded. As you can see, a lot of these programs were in our transportation areas. So we will say we completed this project, and then we'll say we were awarded this project, or we're beginning construction, or it's ongoing. So there is, that is included in your narrative portions of your annual progress report.
Okay.
Now, I just want to mention that these grants that we've been receiving is something that's more relatively new in the last couple of years. So that's maybe why you're not as familiar with it you normally would have been. So we've been really, last year we were able to receive over $10 million, this year over $20 million, so the county's, but we know there's going to be difficulties next year with the state budgets and federal budgets, but it's an effort the county has been doing much more. And it takes several years, as you know, for some of these street projects and other projects. So we will be reporting on them annually as they come through in progress.
I think I said that only because sometimes you hear about the money not being utilized. And because it's because there's so many strings attached, whatever it is, it just doesn't get used. And I wonder if that's the kind of thing that we're supposed to be taking a look at or have any input on at all.
Since I've been involved in this process, we've not had that happen right now. I will admit that there are a lot of strings and difficulties at times, and we've had, the counties had to input, not input, but contribute additional funds sometimes because the grants might not cover everything that the project requires. So we've had to go to the Board of Supervisors and say, oh, we received this $1 million to do this, but there's an additional $30,000 that the grant won't cover, and the board would have to come up with that money to have it be implemented. So, but I have not been made aware of anything in the last couple of years that we've not been able to utilize the funds. But I have been aware of difficulties, of course.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments for staff? Okay, thank you very much. Now I'll open it up for comments from the public.
Members of the commission, my name is Radley Reap and I reside at 557 West Escalon in Clovis. Right now, a letter is being handed out to you. It's rather long, and so I'm not going to ask that you read it, but I will cover everything that's in the letter and just speak to you about it. I think that would be best. If you would like to have time to read the whole thing, that's fine. I can wait or read it to you. Is that okay, Mr. Chairman? Did I simply...
Can you summarize it?
Yes, I'll simply summarize it.
With questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is different from the one you've already submitted, that's correct?
Pardon me?
This is different from the letter that you
yes.
had submitted?
Okay. Yes, I'm trying to make things more understandable for you if I can.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to talk to you about the required contents of an APR, both state requirements and local requirements, and also to talk to you about a few of the inaccuracies that are in the APR. I think you know that years ago the legislature realized that cities and counties needed help when drafting and revising general plans, and so it directed the Office of Planning and Research to create some general plan guidelines. And so now we have a manual that explains best practices and statutory requirements and methods for compliance. Those particular guidelines are said to be advisory because the Office of Planning and Research has no policing power and no power to create legislation. I see you're trying to read the document while I'm talking. Is this working?
It's working.
Okay, all right.
It works for me.
I want to make sure you can understand. Years ago, also, the legislature realized that cities and counties needed to report publicly how well their general plans were being implemented. And so it directed cities and counties to prepare annual progress reports like the one you have before you today, but that they would need to include a description of the degree to which their respective plans complied with the guidelines put out by OPR. So what we have here is a marriage of two statutory requirements. State lines were created to help counties understand what needed to be done with regard to adoption and revision general plans, and then counties are now required to report publicly how well their plans measure up to those guidelines. The county has decided not to comply with that requirement. The county included in its plan how it measures up to the state's guidelines. I'm not sure why, but the problem is you do not have the information you need to know how well you are in compliance with state guidelines. There's no information available to you so that you can make recommendations to the board as to what needs to be done to bring them into guidelines. Basically, what I'm telling you is there's no public disclosure of the situation, and I don't know how to correct it except to ask you to ask your staff to include that requirement as part of the APR. On another matter, years ago, the legislature took action to protect the environment by adopting CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, and it required that whenever you have a project before you that might harm the environment, you need to adopt mitigation measures and a program to monitor that you're actually implementing those measures. And the 2000 general plan actually was just such a project. It did propose harm to the environment under build out under the general plan, and about 300 mitigation measures were adopted by the county. However, the county never adopted the mitigation monitoring program to make sure that that would be done. And so the county has argued that it's not necessary because the plan is self-mitigating. It's just going to happen automatically. And in any event, when various projects come up that require mitigation, we'll take a look at some of those mitigation measures as a kind of monitoring that takes place over time. But that reason is faulty, and I have two examples to show you why that's the case. When the general plan was adopted in 2000 and an EIR was prepared, the EIRs found that there would likely be damage or loss of riparian habitat. And so a mitigation measure was adopted by the county to create protection zones around those particular areas. And to do that, the county also adopted a program requiring an ordinance be developed for that purpose. But there is no ordinance, and there are no protection zones. And the reason is because self-mitigation doesn't work, and because no individual project ever triggered the countywide need to have an ordinance. The second example is in regard to air quality. The EIR concluded that further build out under the general plan would degrade air quality. So there was a mitigation measure put in that the county should work with all the cities in the county and with the air district to come up with standard procedures for evaluating projects regarding air quality. But those procedures don't exist. It never happened. Because self-mitigation didn't work, and because there was no individual project that ever triggered the countywide need to do that. And then finally, I'd like to say that there are some inaccuracies in the APR that need some attention. I must admit that every year the APR is getting more accurate and more accurate, and that's because I'm pressuring and pressuring and pressuring to get an honest report. But it still falls short, and it should never fall short. So the two examples would be this. There's a program in the general plan requiring periodic evaluation of the success in implementing the county's economic development strategy. The APR says that that program is ongoing, but I can tell you that there has never been an evaluation of the county's ability to successfully implement its strategy. The second example is that There are oak woodlands throughout the county that need some protection, and so there's a program requiring the county to distribute oak management information to them. However, it's never been done because the county has never mapped where those oak woodlands are, and it has never created the documents to give to residents. And yet, the APR says that that program is ongoing. Just what does ongoing mean? To me, it gives the impression that things are going just fine, but things are not going at all. And so I would like you to ask staff to go back